Hello, and welcome back to the BizSpark Show. I'm your host, Douglas Kretz, and we've been gone for maybe about a week, but we're back. And we have two fine guests with us. We have a serial entrepreneur and his colleague. I'm going to introduce to you Alex Fedosiev, who is one of the co-founders of One World Online, and his colleague, also co-founder, Damien Leostik. And they are in the studio today to tell us about One World Online. And thank you very much for becoming a BizSpark member. I appreciate that, Alex. I don't know if you actually signed up all the paperwork yet. I'm pretty sure that you have. Why don't you start with just telling us basically what is One World Online, and then we're going to watch a video to kind of give people a graphic of it.
Yeah, thanks, Doug, for inviting us to your program. Yeah. Much appreciated, and especially becoming a Microsoft BizSpark partner. It's always exciting to have some big name that you kind of become associated with.
Yes,
and
thanks.
I always considered Microsoft a company making difference in the industry.
Yeah, well, thank you. That's really nice of you to say.
I just worked with Microsoft a lot back in the 80s, and maybe I'll tell you a story how Bill Gates was my customer for one day. But and it's great that we now engaged in this BizSpark program because I see a lot of value for the company. And so Damien and I actually worked together already in almost four companies, you can say. And that's what really important for starting a new gig, when you have people that you really trust and you want to go forward to them.
Yeah.
So the history is very typical for Silicon Valley, because we had one successful exit, a company called 2Wire, which was a pioneer in residential gateways.
Okay.
And AT&T was our biggest customer, but we also did business around the globe and was bought by Pace in 2010. And also after that, we did a company called 4Home, which is a smart home solution. Can talk a lot about smart home, but to keep long story short, we made an affordable version of smart home, which was kind of unique. And as soon as it was coming to the end, we knew the company is going to get bought, and it happened by Motorola.
Yeah.
We completed the deal, and early 2011 became part of Motorola Mobility.
Yeah.
And of course, we were thinking about what's next, right? So after this Motorola engagement, which happened for a couple of years, we were essentially thinking about our next step and what to do to make a difference and create something really exciting, and decided to combine technology and content. That was one motivation, because personally, I don't want to do just technology my whole life. It's exciting, it's good for people, but the real value is coming when you put something meaningful on top of technology, and there's really a good service that people can enjoy.
Yeah.
And the idea behind One World was that I just realized that there's a huge gap in the way we relate ourselves to society, because all of us read the news. We all get on tons of information every day, right? You can go on the TV, on the internet, radio, all kind of media. And one piece is always lacking. At least for me, it was so obvious that you never really know how people react to this news. What is the people's opinion about what's happening?
Right.
And in some places, of course, you have this little pollers or some kind of feedback, but there are multiple problems with that. Number one, usually this information is closed. You vote, but you don't see much back. What happened? A minority, majority? Second is, depending on where you go to the one side, it's one extreme, and you know the crowd is going to vote there.
Yeah.
You go to another extreme, it's a different crowd, and also not very meaningful to know. But I think it's really important for us to understand not only what news are happening, but also how people react to this news, what they think about it, what people think in the U.S., in Europe, in Russia, in China, and also have unbiased, neutral view at this news, and kind of see the big picture. Because without this information, our view of the world isn't complete.
Yeah, you mean you're basically saying, I mean, and maybe Damien, you can describe what One World Online is so that people can kind of touch it in their mind. We're going to show people a video of it, but it's almost like you're trying to take what the news is traditionally just sort of like this information delivered on these dumb pipes, basically, and it goes out, you have an audience, maybe you can count them in numbers, but you don't really know anything about their sentiment, their tone, what they believe, and sort of what the values are as they shift. So so One World is what? How would you describe it in one or two sentences?
A simple way to describe it is an online research company.
Yeah.
So we've been trying to redefine how, you know, online polling is being done, you know, by being innovative, you know, providing a platform that is comprehensive.
Yeah.
You know, we run on all major components today. And really, this is, you know, what we're trying to achieve, you know, so becoming a, you know, a dynamic, real-time research company.
Sure. So in a kind of an intelligence organization on the web that delivers to, I'm assuming, marketers, brands.
That is primary target. Yeah.
Primary targets is that. So let's watch a video. You guys have a YouTube promotional video that you've put out.
Yeah.
While we're queuing it up, just before we play it, you know, for other bootstrap startups out there, does it take a long time to put one of these promotional videos together? Or is there a simple way in which someone can drive something like this?
Yeah, things are getting easier, definitely.
Yeah.
There are quite a few tools out there, some of them online, to create a quick video.
Okay.
Since our video involves some animation and designing characters, it's a bit more
Okay, it took a little more time.
But still, it's reasonable to do it in a few weeks. As long as you have a script and an idea, right?
Yeah.
People implement it, they can do it fairly quickly.
Yeah. Okay.
If you can put together the content and if you have the right connection, it happens.
So, but are we talking $1,000 or thousands of dollars? Or are we talking
low
like
thousands.
Low thousands?
Low thousands.
Okay, got it. So let's watch this video and find out what One World Online does.
There are so many situations where we need to know, what do people really think? It might be about anything. What do people think about technology, business, politics, consumer products, entertainment, health, lifestyle? How do they react to the news? Today, there is no open and trusted online resource for tracking people's opinions. Who needs to track people's opinions? Companies need it to refine, position, and market their products. Organizations need to study public opinion on social and political issues and appeal to them. People themselves want to be informed and to be involved. Introducing One World Online includes three major elements: polls and surveys to collect data, expert opinions to give inputs on both sides, data points to support opinions. How does One World Online work? New, well-crafted polls are published daily on various topics. Experts advise on both sides of each story. One World members vote on the polls. New data points being added by experts to prove their views and influence voters. As numbers grow, there are amazing opportunities to analyze results, monitor trends, check on breakdowns, and share them with friends. One World Online is a true international service with multiple language options. Allows users to log in with existing social network accounts. Very simple and entertaining to use. Perfect place to grow a diversified expert community. Self-regulated system and grows via its members' activities and creates endless opportunities in data analysis for decision makers. It takes traditional social networks from "my opinion is known to my friends" to "my opinion really counts." One World Online is the true answer to the question, what do people really think? One World Online helps companies sell, helps people be informed, and changes the world for better. One World Online. Experts advise. People decide.
That's great. Okay, so first of all, that's a really great video. That's so for not a lot of money and for some of the first things that you're doing to get marketing for your startup app, that's actually pretty cool. So way to go on that. The first question I have about this stuff, and I don't know which one of you will answer this, is what does this compete with? You know, what I like about this, what's interesting, what engaged me about it, is that it's not just an app in which the experience is sort of one-sided, where, oh, I take a poll and then I find out how many other people believe what I believe. There's a whole sort of range of services that come with this, ranges of intelligence, and different ways in which, I guess, a consumer, different types of consumers can get value. So what out there are you guys competing with? Is this like a direct play against, I don't know, McKinsey or some of these other firms that have something that's maybe less agile?
I can try.
Okay.
But there are two categories of research and polling companies. I mean, it's simplification, but roughly. On one side, you have a lot of mobile pollers. Application are really simple and more for friends and some random questions. Does it dress fit me well, or what color shoes I want to wear today? And this information is of a different type. It's very light, right? And there's no much depth in it for marketeers. On the other hand, you have all the traditional research companies doing a great job collecting quality data, but we're not quite competing with neither of them. It's really we're in the middle, because we're educational and fun application, but at the same time, like you mentioned, there's a depth in it. We always present both sides of the story. So it's not just a question. It's two expert opinions, some data points attached to it. You can see all these dimensions for intelligence. And we're kind of in the middle. So we get in the quality of the big guys and the format of the mobile polling and nice Facebook and web applications.
I see. And so how are you going to get yourself entrenched in the minds of these consumers, the people who are going to buy the services from this, from that online service? I mean, is it... You know, because when I showed it to people, and maybe it's not the right audience in terms of the people you're really putting this in front of, but a lot of them are sort of trying to pigeonhole this. Is it something that's like Quora? Is it something that's like I don't know, you've mentioned people say it's like SurveyMonkey. Mm-hmm. What is that conversation like? How are you marketing this to groups?
Well, I think it's like Alex said, you know, if you take the example of SurveyMonkey or even, you know, Quora, you know, to that, you know, for that matter, you have the ability with this platform to, you know, ask consumer what they think about a topic.
Mm-hmm.
What you don't get in return is, you know, the results of that, you know, question or of that survey. What we are trying to provide is a service where, you know, you have, you know, quality data going into the system, you know,
running,
you know, I mean, crowdsourcing the questions, you know, and, you know, having some relevant data for marketers, but also for consumers that use the platform, and then presenting back, you know, a set of analytics for consumers and businesses,
okay,
you know, that have, you know, actually the true value, you know, behind the service. So, you know, there's a, you know, what I'm going to call a B2C and B2B component to to our service, you know, so making a fun, compelling platform for consumers. You know, that's one of our challenges, obviously acquiring a consumer, what I'm going to call value add consumers that come back, you know, endorse the service, you know, enjoy it and come back and vote. And then obviously extracting, you know, trends, you know, analytics, you know, cross tabulation of polls, you know, into reports, you know, for marketers.
Yeah.
Alex, you want to add to that?
Yeah, essentially it's like two different type of competition. SurveyMonkey is just a tool, right? And people send to their own list of names and collect the data. They can't really use the wider population unless there's some special panel arrangement going on. And Quora is a great service, by the way. I really like it. And but it's a different nature. It's really knowledge-based, right, where people can answer the questions. But there's no quantified value in it. There's no really any demographics or psychographics.
Yeah,
it's a great service, but it doesn't have this dimension into the statistics, right?
Sure.
And the actual data for people want to understand the market.
But let's break this down, because maybe let's look at it from maybe from your business model perspective, because it seems like there's several working parts here. How, you know, I have questions about how would you get something like this started? How many people does it take to get up and running? Because it sounds like you have to have people who create content. Now, from looking at the app, it looks like some of that is coming from the crowd, right? There are experts out in the crowd who can provide content. But how, I mean, what are, let's pretend that you and I are building this company from the first time right now. So what did you guys do when you sat down to try to figure out, okay, what are we putting out to the audience first? And also, I'm curious about what was the first idea? Maybe that's the better place to start. You had already done two companies. You were on both companies.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you sitting around the pool one day thinking, "Oh, we just made our second exit. You know what we really need is more polls on smartphones." I mean, how did this thing come into fruition?
You know, I'll turn it back to you. Alex came to me one day and he's like, "You know, I'd like to know what people really think, right?" And he's like, "You know, when you want to find out something, where do you go?" And my simple answer was, "When I Google it, you know, that's what I do." And his next question to me was like, "Do you get the answer that you're looking for?" You know, I thought through it, and I'm like, "Well, not always."
No, yeah, that's true.
And he's like, "Well, you know, how about we think through that for a minute and come up with a solution, so not only we can help people with answering the question they're asking for, but have, you know, quantitative, you know, and informed, you know, solutions for them, right? So we, you know, you've checked out the app, you've seen the notion of an expert, you know, supporting a side of the poll, you know, data points to support those, you know, those opinions. So that's how it started. You know, essentially, Alex came to me and said, you know, what do people really think, and how do we solve for that?
So almost like you wanted to interject yourself into that Google search toolbar and say you wanted people to tell you the questions that they were asking, and you wanted to be able to give them the appropriate answers. I mean, I guess the part I don't understand is, if it started out with you saying, okay, where do I go and what do I do? The next step, I guess, is how do we trap that data? And then how do we reposition that data, I guess, to get more users, to get more smart data to present better, thoughtful questions? I mean, how do you tackle that part? Is that an engineering problem?
That's a very good question, actually, because there are two parts, data collection and data presentation, right? And so at this point, we need to collect the data, and not only data, but quality data. That's a keyword, right? Quality in, quality out. Second part is where are you going to use this data and how we process and how to digest and aggregate and get some conclusions out of this data.
Yeah.
Linking it to the search engine, like you just mentioned, is totally a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Of course, it means partnership with one of the big guys, and maybe we'll talk about this with these big guys down the road.
There's one that I know of, yeah.
But there's more than this, right? Yeah. Because, for example, we produce already this thing called widget or one world polar.
Sure, it goes on the site.
Exactly, integrated to a partner site. And there are different flavors of these widgets. You can potentially just put this thing on a partner site and have a search on specific topics within the context of this partner and get a quick answer.
Yeah.
It's really good that Damon remembered this whole conversation about search what people really think. Try it today. If you have something in mind, you and your friend are arguing about something, it could be a really important question of the day. Like, should U.S. troops participate in military action in Syria?
Right.
I literally had this conversation with my friends at dinner over the weekend.
Yeah.
And before, I wouldn't know where to go to find this answer, right? I would probably go to Google and type the question and check five or 10 different sites. In this case, I went straight to One World Online and showed them the poll with the results.
Yeah, I completely understand this. And I completely understand this because everyone, I think, yearns for that more highly polished answer, you know, more acute data, something that's a lot more focused. I guess what I'm worried about or I'm concerned about if I'm building a startup of this nature is, you know, what are the tools that I need to, you know, requisition to get this kind of data? And then how am I working behind the scenes? I mean, how were you guys working behind the scenes? Like, once you're able to trap what the people's potential questions were or their answers were, what is the steps or the process you go into to figuring out, okay, how do we make this part of the actual product offering? How do we make this part of the design? I mean, what did the early version of this look like, I guess?
The early version?
Go ahead.
Yeah, it was Android, right?
You guys are like so polite go ahead.
No, we first came up with an Android platform.
Okay.
Don't ask me why. I think we had the expertise, you know, first of all. And the experience. So, you know, we started with that. You know, I remember some early conversations where we said, look, you know, it's going to have to be Android, iOS, and then expand it to future platform web, obviously, you know, from the get-go. It's going to have to be multi-language. You know, we don't want to be, just an English-based, you know, company, especially given our background. So that's how it started, you know, and the first version was, you know, was what it was, you know, maybe a little, it's not as polished as you've seen it today. I think today we have a pretty high quality user interface across all platforms, you know, that comes with, you know, experience.
But the early version was really just sort of scrapped up site. You put it together and you were based, how did you get it to people? Would you put it through the Android App Store or you put it through the Google Play or whatever, you put it out there and then... Did you see that people got it right away, that they understood what you were trying to build, or was it so sort of a stab in the dark still?
It took until March when they launched the product officially, because as always, we go through alpha and beta phases. When it's mostly friends and family, and we started inviting people through our connections, as everybody does, right?
Yeah,
the board did the same thing at the early days. And now when you actually launch the service officially, which was everything, iOS, Android, and web, back in March, we did it at South by Southwest.
Oh, right.
From this point on, actually, we started real promotions. Like the month of April, May, we started running campaigns through social media, through some of the partnerships, like putting our widgets on partner sites.
Sure.
And that actually really helped.
So, Kenny, you guys in there over there, is there a way you could bring up that front page so you can show people at home what that actual looks like when you go to the page? What kind of decisions did it take to get to this place where now when you go to the site, it's very clear you're given a poll or you're given a set of polls. I guess, how do you make that switch? I feel like I'm obsessive with my questions, but how do you make that switch from gathering data to then having a sort of interface in which people are like, I can kind of scroll through here and sort of get the zeitgeist for what's happening for this collective group of people? You know, now you can click on it. The way I remember it is you can click on it now. And when you do click on a poll, you can then figure out how many were female, how many were male, how old were they, are they single? Mm-hmm. And it's porting into Facebook now, use the Facebook API. Mm-hmm. Roughly how many months did it take to get to that point?
Well, we started operations in October, and we launched the service in March.
That's actually really fast.
Right. Nowadays, keep in mind, that's, you know, everybody's facing the same convenience of being in Silicon Valley because infrastructure is available and cheap.
Yeah.
Nowadays, hosting is not anywhere as complicated as 5 years ago, for example. Right.
And were you paying for engineering costs and talent with angel money or from money from the last exit? Was it your own money, basically?
It's a mix of both, as always, right? We got angel money, over a million, actually, by now. And also, the people that started early, they're working for stock mostly.
Okay.
So the first half a year, or even more, people were working just for stock. Like core team here. And also extended in the remote team in Ukraine, which we're really lucky to find a really group of people. It's much cheaper over there, and it works really well because we have equal-sized engineering team here in Ukraine. So we have 24/7 coverage for development.
You can work on the thing all day long, basically.
And content team is another big strength. Like you mentioned earlier, it's really important to get the content right into the system. Mm-hmm. It's a whole dedicated team of people, where there are two researchers and a few collaborators.
I mean, not to minimize it. I mean, look, you know, building a platform or on several platforms is not that easy. But if you have the expertise and engineers, you know, you'll do it and you'll do it rather quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I think our early discussions were more on the business model, you know, the value proposition of the company. You know, we had a lot of thinking, you know, different directions that we were taking early on. And, you know, to us, you know, it has been, you know, kind of where we spend our energy. You know, I mean, of course, you know, building the platform, you know, is, you know, has its own challenges. You know, you want to be scalable from the get-go. You know, you want to be very agile in your development. You have, you know, very short milestones that you have to meet, you know, for investors and press and trade shows. You know, so all of that, you know, is part of our daily challenge. But I think to us, you know, most of the thinking, you know, went and, you know, still goes into, you know, the refinement of, you know, the strategy. And, you know, the monetization, the business model.
Do you feel like your skills in those earlier two companies transfer well to this type of thing?
Absolutely.
Really? Yeah. And so what do you feel has primed you for doing something in this space? Because it is a little bit different than home automation and some of these, what I think are more lofty kind of.
I think we both come from a background of consumer products.
Yeah.
You know, I could have used, you know, those statistics and, you know, those analytics, you know, in my early days, you know, those previous companies.
Yeah.
I was paying prime dollars, you know, for marketing research.
Yeah.
I would still do today, you know, there's true value behind it. But, you know, we were like, look, you know, we both come, you know, from, you know, building, you know, highly integrated consumer products and, you know, really understanding customer behaviors, trends, you know, what they want or guessing what they want ahead of them wanting what they want is extremely useful. So I think that's, you know, what shaped the idea of, what do we need to get ahead of that?
Yeah.
You know, build a platform that will allow us to make informed decisions, or allow our customers to make informed decisions.
Yeah. So for the people who are in the BizSpark program, because we like to use these interviews as a way of kind of educating them, you know, many have made that decision. You know, some have decided we're going to go and just build like sort of cloud infrastructure stuff. Maybe we're going to build an enterprise startup. Some, a great deal of them have focused on the sort of consumer world. Your product and product marketing and design sort of lessons from previous startups, what do you think is probably the most valuable in building something in this space? What do you have to have sort of on your checklist of things that you have to build into your team or build into your product? Maybe let's start with your team. What do you have to make sure your team understands and has on the ready to kind of launch in this space?
Yeah, of course, we were looking for the skill set. Number one, it has to be proven people. If you go to startup, which is always challenging, you really need to start with people you trust. So pretty much our whole core team and people, we work together from sometimes two companies, not just one.
Right.
And that's number one, skill set, right, and attitude. So people really willing to sacrifice certain things and kind of go with you all the way through the good times and bad times, right,
yeah.
And work out the issues. Of course, skill set is still important because people we're working with, some of them came with mobile background, some they cloud services,
sure,
user interface designer, same guy who worked with us before, so we know it's proven people.
Yeah.
So going down the checklist, of course, you need to kind of optimize the cost. That's why we got the remote team earlier in the game to optimize our expenses, because keeping the whole team here in Silicon Valley is obviously much more expensive.
Yeah.
And the earlier people solve it, the better.
Yeah.
And of course, there are ways to do it, right? Then three is engage with get earlier feedback, because kind of lean startup approach. And not necessarily talk about things, but actually do them and try them live and see how it goes. That's how we optimize our solution a lot, right? A lot of features or improvements came from our alpha and beta testing. And we continue shaping the product. Once you build the platform right and allows yourself a lot of flexibility on the front end, that's the key. And nowadays, that's what a lot of startups do that.
And so when you're building a platform and you had said earlier, kind of knowing a little bit ahead of time what the consumer is going to need, what do you think you have to be so thoughtful about in building a platform in that kind of space? I mean, because it seems like everybody is now, the word platform is on everybody's lips, really. You know, BizSpark has a platform. You know, when Quora is a platform, Facebook is a platform. Why platform? Like, why are we going in this space and not just like a website where you download an app and then use the app to do a certain thing? Is it a good question or a really miserable question?
I'm thinking through it. I mean, I guess in terms of, you know, consumer, for me, I'm going to go back to analytics. You know, I think this is eventually, you know, where you need to be. I mean, so to go back to, you know, why a platform? Well, you know, you need a platform to run such services. You know, we both come from a background of, you know, running, you know, cloud infrastructure and consumer products and, you know, user interfaces, you know, with, you know, you know, usability and user experience in mind. So, you know, we had that, you know, that trilogy of, you know, experience, if you will, you know, building a backend that is scalable, you know, cost effective, you know, and building a user interface that you will enjoy and a service that you will enjoy, you know, so you can come back to it. I'm going back to, you know, what is the value of all of this is, you know, once you've acquired that data is what you do with it, right? And this is, you know, really where we're trying to differentiate. You know, we were talking about SurveyMonkey earlier. SurveyMonkey is great. You know, you can do certain things for very, very cheap. But you know, what is the true value you get behind it? You know, I think it's somewhat limited, and we're trying to obviously extend the reach of where we are, you know, to get closer to, you know, the true value of, you know, marketing research company, where we pay prime dollar, you know, for research data.
Sure. Right?
And if you have the ability to provide quality content, diversified content, and be very dynamic, and then you know what to do with, you know, that, and, you know, with that data, you know, that's where the value comes, and this is the space where we're trying to play in.
So what do you mean by content? Is it just the good questions, or is there something else there?
Yeah, I mean, maybe you want to talk through,
it's,
you know,
combination.
How the content is organized, because the content team that we have is actually very well organized in terms of how we, you know, choose and deliver content.
Okay.
There are a few fundamental values that we're providing on the content side. One is the structure of our data.
Yeah.
The combination of question with expert opinions and data points, even though it sounds very logical and simple and natural for people to think this way, it's not how research is conducted nowadays.
Right.
Right? Because usually you have just the questions with no context, and of course when people are answering them, they're struggling. Sometimes they don't understand what has really been asked.
Yeah, exactly.
As a result, the quality of results are not that high.
Sure.
Or it's just too many questions at once. And that's why we came with the idea of chain of polls. When I ask questions from the same chain, a group of questions one at a time, like maybe every day or through different interfaces, and accumulate data over time,
sure,
that creates much bigger value, because now people answer with a better understanding what is the question is about. So all this...
Ah, okay.